All right, welcome. Welcome. I just wanted to say welcome to the end of democracy. We are here to overthrow it completely. We didn't get all the way there on January 6th, but we will endeavor to get rid of it and replace it with this right here. We'll replace it with this right here.
Amen.
CPAC, do you know what that is? That is the conservative... What is it?
Unfortunately.
What is PAC?
Political Action Committee.
Political Action Committee. Okay. Yeah. It's their big convention every year. It's like corporations have a big convention. They have their big convention. I made jokes about it every year. But I can't remember the last time we did it. It goes way back. I remember once calling it the Woodstock for the mentally impaired. But in years past, it was like the most conservative commentators and senators and governors. And okay, this year, there's a guy, I've heard this name, I don't know who he is, Jack Prozobic. He's doing sort of like a roundtable discussion, you know, it's a convention, they have these things. This is a quote: "Welcome to the end of democracy. We are here to overthrow it completely. We didn't get all the way there on January 6th. But we will endeavor to get rid of it." Am I missing an irony here? Am I missing a joke? Or is it, as it seems now, they are saying the quiet part out loud?
Yeah.
That they are not. This is CPA. This is their big, this is Republican, conservative, their big convention. And you have a guy like this and the crowd is loving it. Welcome to the end of democracy. We're here to overthrow it. January 6th was good. Now we're going to finish the job. Thoughts?
It's scary.
Thoughts on that?
Bill, that was a joke about Trump making a joke about being a dictator day one in office. That is an ironic take on how the liberal media.
Well, that was my question. Am I missing the irony?
Conservatives, I think so. Yes, it's a joke.
Really?
But, yeah, and I think more. I mean, more to the point. To you, Bill, and to
keep your day job, Jack.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Here's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
It's Tuesday, 5 March, in the year of our Lord, 2024. It is not often on the Bill Maher show, he gets put in his place. We have the extraordinary young woman here who did that, Batya Unger Sargon from Newsweek magazine and Brooklyn. I've done Bill Maher a lot. I know those guys quite well. That was really, it happens very rarely on his show, but you knew the details. And we'll talk about what happened else. Talk to me about that. Talk to me about going in the lion's den. It's what, 3,000 people at the old... it's the CBS studios over on Highland in L.A. Talk to me about being on there.
Well, I'm very, very grateful to Bill for having me, because even though I am on the left, I can't get onto liberal shows, because it's kind of like that scene in Monty Python where they're like, hey, we want to join you. And they were like, well, how much do you hate the Romans? And he goes, a lot. And they're like, right, you're in. It's the same thing with Trump. If you don't hate Trump, they will not let you on, even if you want to tell them, hey, here's how the Democrats could get the working class back. They don't want to hear it. And I just find it undeniable at this point that, thanks to you, Mr. Bannon, Donald Trump became the voice of the working class and the voice of saving the working class from the handshake agreement between both parties to sell them out and sell out their futures. If you have arrived at that conclusion, which I think is the only true conclusion, you cannot get into liberal spaces. So I'm very grateful to Bill for having me, although the audience definitely didn't like me.
No, but this, I want to talk about it. You say you're a liberal or progressive, yet your books, this book is, and I know you're going to come out with a bigger media campaign later, but you know, Second Class is one of the definitive works out there. It's about to come out. How do you say you're liberal when I read it and I feel like I'm reading a MAGA writer?
Well, to me, Donald Trump is kind of like a New Deal Democrat. And this is something I tried to explain to Bill Maher as well. To Democrats and liberals, Trump is an extremist. But to Trump's supporters, he is a moderate, if not a liberal.
Say that again. This is because in the war room, we, as we say, we always have President Trump's right flank, right? We always have the right flank. President Trump, what the media and they he's a kind-hearted guy. He's a big-hearted guy. He was very popular with all that crowd beforehand. He is, if you look at the spectrum of our policy recommendations and beliefs, President Trump is kind of a moderate, right? That's why he's building a coalition.
100%.
You agree 100%. With that?
His view on abortion, 16 weeks, right? That was the Democrats' view until the 90s. His view on immigration, that mass migration is class warfare against the working class, that was the view of the Democrats until the 90s.
Bernie Sanders
in 2015. Open borders, that's a Koch brothers proposal, right? You remember that? Trump is pro-black. He's courting black voters. He's pro-gay. I hear that from his supporters all the time, and they love that about him. That is who the Democrats used to be, and now it is who MAGA is. And I say that with a lot of love and respect.
So how talk about that as a liberal? You've been outcast because you take the side of the working class.
Yeah.
So how can that be? The Democrats tell us all the time they're a part. AOC and these people tell us they're a working class party.
No, that's complete nonsense. The Democrats are the party of the college credentialed elites and the dependent poor. So all of their policies are either about flattering the vanity of the rich or sustaining the poor that won't work. And meanwhile, everybody in the middle, the hardworking people who listen to your show, who you know about and who you respect, they were not represented by either party until Trump came along. And Trump showed up and said, wait a minute, why is no one standing up for the hardworking American? And what I did for this book is I traveled around the country and interviewed working class Americans. And let me tell you something, Steve, and you know this. Working class Americans, whether they vote for Democrat or Republican, whether they're liberal or conservatives, they all have the same views. Like, neither party is really speaking to them. They all agree, by and large, about the most important issues. Polarization is a totally elite phenomenon.
Walk us through that.
So the elites are very, very polarized. If you talk to somebody who's been to college, conservative or liberal, somebody who works in the media, elites, somebody who works in the political elites, they look at the party platform, whether it's the GOP platform or the Democratic platform, and they're like, check, 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 check. Whatever the party tells them is the good and the right, they agree with. So there's no natural connection between supporting abortion on demand and believing in climate change and supporting an open border. Those things were cobbled together because they are all in the interests of the leftist elites. And so if you're in those leftist elites, you're like, oh, these are all my priorities. If you are a hardworking American, those are not your priorities. You go issue by issue and say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, so I would never get an abortion, but I know somebody who was raped, so I don't want it to be banned. You say, well, I have a family member who's gay and I want them to be treated with dignity, but I have a child in school and I'm terrified of the trans agenda, right? You have this because the American working class is deeply tolerant. And so that is how they approach the world.
Hold it. Then I've got to bring my other. So hold it. Because, and let me say this, and I think because this book is getting so much, your book, and you're a progressive or a liberal Democrat, your book is the antidote to the book of the moment. And I think when you come out, you're going to see that. This book is what they're all talking about. White Rural Rage, The Threat to American Democracy. Now, they've just taken the same group that you've looked at and the same statistics. And do we have that clip I sent you earlier about him being on the morning show? Just let me know what's up. They take the same group that you've studied and traveled the country to do, and the same statistical analyses you've looked at. They have come to the exact opposite conclusion. That white working class, particularly white working class that are not in cities or not in suburbs, but the rural working class, are the most xenophobic, nativist, racist, and they say now dangerous group in American history since the Confederates and the Civil War. In fact, they make direct analogies to the Confederates, to the Southern states in the Civil War. What do you see that they've missed or are misinterpreting?
This is such a slander on this great nation, and I say that as a Jewish person. I cannot sit here and allow this kind of slander of the American people to go unopposed. This book, this is the wishful thinking of over-credentialed college elites who have turned their back on the working class and who hate America. And this is their wishful thinking as their justification. Oh, we don't have to care about the working class because they're racist. You know what, Steve? Something that you have taught me first, probably before anybody else, the working class in MAGA is multiracial. Guess what? Donald Trump was polling at 8% of black men in 2020. He got 18%. He's now polling 20 to 30% of black men. You can imagine what he's going to get. The majority of Hispanics, who, by the way, the majority of that community is working class, they're also part of the MAGA movement. They're on the Trump train. This is absolute cope by a left that has abandoned labor to cater to their vanity morals and masquerade as the good guys while hating this country.
How did the Democratic Party, because I come from a Democratic Union family, and we split over the Vietnam War, right? My family left, and they were huge Reagan. I mean, when Reagan came, and they, I remember in the 60s saying, well, Reagan's just a, was just a small-time actor when they were, you know, kids in the 30s. They became huge Reagan folks, right, because they were Reagan Democrats. How did the Democratic Party, what happened to the Democratic Party that it left its working class base and really allowed it? Because Buchanan talked a little bit about it, then Perot talked about it, then the Tea Party talked a little bit about it, but left it open for Donald Trump to kind of run the tables. What? How did they abandon the working class of this country?
They decided to start catering to the college credentialed elites. They created an economy that was extremely rewarding to people in the knowledge industry and extremely punishing to people who work with their hands for a living. And the way they did that was first they shipped the good-paying manufacturing jobs overseas to China and Mexico to build up their middle class. Then they opened the border and imported an entirely new slave caste to undercut service industry jobs that remained here. And they, with all of this, signaled to the working class, you're nothing. You are nothing. You do a job that actually we rely on to exist. You are nothing. You only matter if you have a high IQ and you go, or these people are not all intelligent, by the way. You go and you get these credentials, and then they sit there and they trade in credentialism. They have no respect for this country or for the values of this country or for the value of hard work. They sit around in their universities and confer plaudits on each other. And then they say, oh, if you don't have a credential, you don't deserve the American dream. That was Clinton. That was Obama. Everybody's going to go to college. Not everyone wants to go to college. And by the way, most college educated people are underemployed and still making more than working class people. It's an absolute outrage. When they realized how much money there was in the knowledge industry, they increasingly started catering to those voters. Let me tell you something. 97% of donations coming out of Silicon Valley go to Democrats. The majority of Americans making over $500,000 a year are Democrats. 9 of the 10 richest counties in this country now vote for Democrats. And the majority of donations coming out of Wall Street went to Joe Biden and not to Donald Trump, because these elites hate Trump because he represents the return of the middle class, the rise of the working class, and the pride of the working class. That's what they hate and why they write this stuff, this drivel. They cannot stand the idea that people who work with their hands for a living should have dignity.
What in there, you can see it, the fix is in, because they're in back of this book. This book, yes. These guys are everywhere, right? You see this?
Well, but see, in a way, you gave them the playbook, because you said in 2015, they're going to be talking about racism all day and we're going to win with economic populism.
Yes.
And this is what I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you, first of all, how did you know that? How did you come to this insight that the working class is where it's at? And B, how did you convince Trump?
Well, Trump can read a room. I mean, President Trump, you could see in 12 and 13, was coming to CPAC. And I met with him in 2010 with Dave Bossi. He has a great feel for people. Uh-huh. Remember, he's a people person, and he's a marketer. He knows. He has a great – he also comes from Queens. I mean, he had a great – he just has a great instinct. When I first saw him making these speeches early on of the CPAC, where Dave Bossi set these things up, he was not talking with the nomenclature or the rhythm or the structure of the other Republicans. He was talking in a totally new vernacular, and people would lean into it. And I said, right there, you're seeing a change in American politics. President Trump understands. He you know, Shaw says only connect. He had a visceral connection with working class people, and you could see it every time he went. I tell you, let's take a short break. We're here at the book, and your book's going to come out in about a month, I think.
Yeah,
it
April
is.
April 2nd, yeah.
April 2nd. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot. In fact, if we can play maybe get the AOC was chased around because you're from Brooklyn. You're from the heart of the beast. This is why Hillary Clinton also lost. Her headquarters was in Brooklyn. It was all hipsters, right? They had to be too hip. Okay, short commercial break. We're going to be back with Batya Unger Sargun in a minute.
As we head toward a presidential election in November, one thing you can be sure of, 2024 will be a tumultuous year like no other. How will your hard-earned savings fare during this year? You're already seeing the impacts of inflation at the pump, the grocery store. The dollar continues to lose buying power quicker than your wages can increase. How are you protecting your savings? Consider diversifying with gold from Birch Gold Group. For decades, gold has been the choice of investors and central banks to hedge against inflation. Now you can own it in a tax-sheltered IRA with the help of Birch Gold. Just text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Birch Gold will send you a free info kit on gold. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into an IRA in gold. And the best part, you don't have to pay a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating, with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of satisfied customers, you can trust Birch Gold. Text Bannon to 989898 to claim your free info kit. That's Bannon to 989898. And secure your savings now. Take action. Text Bannon at 989898. Action, action, action.
You refuse to call it a genocide.
No, I need you to understand.
It's
We're
not okay that there's a genocide happening. You're not actively against it.
You're lying.
I'm lying?
You're not.
You went on TV and avoided talking
about it. Well, you can't say it's a genocide. You're acting for political base. You can't call it a genocide.
You're not lying.
We're not lying. You've been saying it in interviews. It's insane. You haven't been calling it a genocide. Don't tell me I'm lying. Then just say it's a genocide. Just say it. Over 30,000 people are dead, AOC. You can't just say it for once. Just say the word. That's it. That's all we want you to say. Or are you not angry about people confronting the public when you can't call it genocide? Over 30,000 people have died.
Stop. Okay? Stop.
We're not doing anything. We're just talking to an elected politician. That's all we're doing. That's it.
You're gonna cut it, and you're going to cut this, and you're going to clip this so that it's completely out of context. I already said that it was, and y'all are just going to pretend that it wasn't over and over again. It's f***ed up, man. You're not helping these people,
TV.
And you're not helping them.
You refuse to.
You're not helping them.
Okay, the princess of the hipsters, AOC, this happens all the time now, but she can't even go out to a movie or these, and let me say this. The pro-Palestine Sharia supremacist movement in this nation is the single most anti-American movement this nation's ever seen. Full stop. Full stop. Why? The Democratic Party's coming apart on this. The flex of the Arab Americans, Muslim Americans, and what happened in Ann Arbor, 35% voting uncommitted, plus the whole state being down. I think cumulative they had less votes than Nikki Haley. It's the end of the Democratic Party, is it not? Because this split is going to split the Democratic Party. You're going to lose eventually all the Jewish voters and all the Jewish donors. Are you not?
I'm so glad you said that this is anti-American.
Yes.
Because people mistake this for being anti-Semitic, which of course it is, but it's a smaller part of a much bigger story. They hate Israel because they hate America. They hate the Jews because
they hate the Judeo-Christian West. They hate Athens, Jerusalem, and Rome. They hate it. And they call the same thing. Look, they call the Israel occupiers and colonizers. That's the same rap they've got here in the United States, that the Anglo whites came here and were oppressors of the Aborigines or the Native Americans, however you want to phrase it. But it's anti-American. Let me repeat this. The pro-Palestinian movement in this country, the merger, as we had Gaffney on the other day, of red and green, of the neo-Marxist progressive left with radical Islam, which is all over Europe, in France, in England, where you're going to have a civil war in France, and you can't even talk about this in England anymore. That's what you're seeing here. and it's got to be taken on. It's got to be confronted. People fear it right now. New York City, Times Square, you can't go down to Times. Saturday was another big riot in Times Square. Remember, they think they found a grenade. If you're Jewish, you can't even walk through Times Square. How can that be America? How can that be New York City? This has got to be confronted. And Jewish leaders and Democratic leaders are putting their head in the sand right now.
I know a lot of Jews who do feel scared. I don't, because I personally think leftists are physical cowards. Like, I don't think that they're actually going to attack anybody. They just chant, like, in big groups. And then, you know, that, like, you could see with AOC, like, the media, as soon as she was confronted, she crumbled, right? There's no real... I don't feel a physical threat as a Jewish person, because this is coming from the elites. This is a product of the elite university.
What do you mean
system.
The product? Because Ann Arbor, I keep telling, the buried lead in Michigan the other day was not Wayne County in Dearborn. That was in your grill. It was the drop in participation, and Ann Arbor had 35% of the votes in Ann Arbor were for uncommitted.
I think, to me, so the fact that the media was so thirsty for this uncommitted story, that's always the first tell, right? When you see all of the leftist media in lockstep covering a story, you know that it's probably not accurate. And I think, to me, what's going on is the reason they made so much of this Michigan 100,000 votes for uncommitted is because they don't want to admit that Biden is going to lose Michigan, not over 100,000 Muslim Americans, but he's going to lose Michigan over 600,000 auto workers because of his whole EV mandate.
Which is collapsing.
Totally collapsing. So this, to me, is a cover story, because that's what the Democrats do. They always try to find a way to, you know, blame the voters rather than admit their own failures. They have failed the working class, and that's where Michigan is going to... You have to remember, in 2012, which is the last time that a Democratic incumbent was running in a primary, President Obama... So Biden, that 100,000 in Michigan, that was 13% of the Democratic primary.
Yes.
Uncommitted against Obama in 2012 was
11%.
So it was much fewer people because turnout was lower. But 11% to 13%, that's not a big gap to me. So I think the reason the media wants to make so much of
this— Because you're going to lose the working
class vote.
Were you born in Israel?
No, I'm
American.
You're
born here? Yeah. So walk through, how did a liberal Jewish girl from Brooklyn, how did you become a tribune of working class Americans? And particularly, you're at the cutting edge of defending white Christian rural Americans. How did that happen?
I know, and I'm embarrassed because I used to be so woke. Like in 2018, I was so woke.
Oh, even after President Trump's first run?
Yeah, I had Trump derangement syndrome. I had it bad, Steve. I had it bad. Like I had to get deprogrammed. I'll tell you the first step in my deprogramming. In 2018, it happened. A study came out from Yale, and the study found that there's a difference in how white liberals and white conservatives talk to people of color. And all of your listeners who are people of color know this, but I didn't know this, although I did know it about myself, if I'm being honest. Here's the difference. They found that when white liberals talk to blacks or Hispanics, they dumb down their vocabulary.
Really?
And white conservatives don't do this. And I looked at that and it was like the most terrifying thing I'd ever seen, because it was such an indictment of my own worldview. I was like, what kind of a worldview produces this kind of patronizing, insulting, racist behavior in the name of being on the side of justice and they call the other side racist? I think that was the first step in my deprogramming and my getting rid of my Trump derangement syndrome. Now I'm like, oh yeah, obviously if you care about the working class, there's only one movement in this country that's representing them.
In that transition from Trump derangement syndrome and living in the heart of it, in that journey, aren't you ostracized by all your friends? I mean, how did that start? All of a sudden you notice you're not invited to this party or this, you're not invited to this speak, or you don't get mentioned in the New Republic, or
they'll do anything they can to destroy you. They'll take embarrassing emails you sent a friend in a moment of weakness, publish it on Twitter so everyone can see it. They try to get you fired. They do these huge campaigns of shaming you and to try to silence you. Like, it's very, very, very brutal and extreme. You know, like, there's no people who you thought were your friends will come out.
I mean, that sounds like malice. It sounds like struggle sessions.
Totally.
Is the mentality like the malice cultural revolution? Is that how they think?
I think that if you are so used to silencing your own moral compass because you are afraid to be denounced, when someone doesn't do that, it makes you feel like the coward that you are. And so they have that person who's anyone who stands up and says no to their own side, they have to be Detroit. By the way, you are doing that because on the far right, there is a very anti-Semitic, anti-Israel movement brewing. And you, I mean, you stand up to them and say, what are you talking about? Yeah.
I don't think it's a big faction, but it's sizable and it's vocal. But you got to go with your beliefs, right? I mean, I'm a Catholic, and I keep telling guys, I said, hey, last time I looked, St. Elizabeth, St. Anne, St. John the Baptist, all these people were Jews, right? I don't know. I don't understand that Old Testament is inextricably linked to our religion, and not just that, to our culture. It's the Judeo-Christian West, and this is what's under attack. This is what this red-green merger, and it's very powerful, right? It's very agnostic and very powerful, and right now is the battle for it. This is what the higher level spiritual fight we have going on right today.
Point out, Trump got 35% of Muslim Americans. And to me, this whole Gaza thing is a bit of an excuse because I think even more of them want to vote for him. And so they're using this as, is why we're leaving Biden. We want to go with Trump.
No, but I think also with Muslim Americans, I'm not saying every Muslim, it's the Sharia supremacists. That part is, they're just as vocal and driving their side as that element in the progressive left that silences everybody else. Totally. People just see it and they go, hey, I'm going to be othered. This is what they try to do to the – think about when Trump got to Mar-a-Lago on January 20th, 2021, everybody abandoned him and they had billboards up for our followers. It was like the lives of others in East Germany, right? If you see these domestic terrorists, that's where this book right here this white rural rage is just – this book is – I mean, it demonizes – working class Americans. Totally. And it's a vicious book. In that, though, they have given us a blueprint, which I'll talk about later. The book comes out, and thank you so much for bringing
it. The book comes out April 2nd, and I just wanted to read to you the inscription that I wrote because I hold you in very high esteem, Mr. Bannon. I wrote, "Dear Mr. Bannon, as an American and as a Jew, I must give you my thanks. On the American front, you have turned the tide for our people in a way that cannot be overstated. And as a Jew, you stood up for truth and justice at a time when so many were cowards. God bless you and everyone you hold dear. Yibarechach Hashem v'yishmerech ya'er Hashem panav eilecha v'ichunecha. Yisah Hashem panav eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom." Thank you.
Wow. Well, thank you. I want to announce our new contributor to the war room. If you're chased off, Batya Unger Sargon. The book is out when?
April 2nd, but available for pre-order on Amazon.
Pre-order now on Amazon, and you can go. It's the antidote to this book right here, which is the biggest book in the country right now, and we'll spend a lot more time on that. I want to thank you for coming by. And by the way, Newsweek, the opinion section over there, Josh Hammer and the team, you guys are just absolutely unbelievable. So thank you for coming in. We look forward to having you back on.
Thank you, Mr. Bannon.
Well, thank you. Okay, this book is one you got to get. Second Class by Batya Unger Sargon. We're going to take a short commercial break. We've got Segal Chadha. There's all kind of nefarious activity happening at the RNC before current management is removed. Also, Jack Posobiec's going to be in, not to talk about Batya Unger Sargon defending him in front of Bill Maher. But Victoria Nuland has left the house. She retired today. Preserve your documents, baby. Jack Posobiec next.
Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold. We can't quite shake it. But you are not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely and depend on yourself. Not sure where to start? Well, try this. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for just $60 off. Think about that. $60 off right now. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. I want you to think about that. Reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day, sealed inside heavy-duty packaging that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes. With My Patriot Supply, when you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship the same day. Save $60 per kit. That is $60 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. Take action. Use your agency. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, Poso's going to be here in a minute. We got so much going. It's Super Tuesday. Amazing coverage all day on Real America's Voice. They got Zier. They got people all over the country. What is it, 19 states. Trump's going to roll it up tonight. There'll be a lot of coverage. Matt Bull over at Breitbart's doing it. Raheem's heading down to Mar-a-Lago. Jane Zirkle and the Real America Voice team down there. I got to give a shout to Brian Glenn last night at Right Side Broadcasting. Just a fantastic coverage last night. The town hall, and their heads are already blowing up. Make sure, like I said, gold 2137 when we started the show, all-time high. Bitcoin also at an all-time high. People are looking for alternatives. Why are they looking for hedges? Because they know the system can't keep – it just can't continue. The math just doesn't – won't support it. $1 trillion every 100 days. $1 trillion. That's Republic ending. And Johnson, this crowd, we're working on getting Russ vote and other people on here, Eli, people talk about – this disastrous budget they're agreeing to, these minibuses, and they're saying, well, we broke the omnibus. Well, it doesn't matter. You're approving Pelosi's budget plus $30 billion. And they got, oh, we got these policy wins. You have no policy wins. So just go to Andy Clyde, Congressman Clyde's, for an example on guns. If that's your thing, go to Clyde's Twitter feed and just read it. So we'll get all up to speed on that. But something's happening. This is very concerning, particularly given this audience. I want to go to Seagal. Oh, so go to birchgold.com/Bannon. Immerse yourself in the information and get Philip Patrick and the team on the phone. I think gold's up 45%, 50% since we started working with those guys. And it's, hey, the reason was that we saw the spending, the out-of-control spending that Biden came in with this madness of what he did. And it just can't go on. The math is this is not quantum mechanics. So Gal Chadha joins us, and I came upon from other people came to me. They were so outraged. Now, Henry Barber is part of the Yazoo City Barbers, right? And they're as corrupt as their lobbyists. These guys are corrupt. This is the swamp from Yazoo City, Mississippi. And Haley, this is his nephew. But he's a functionary or apparatchik of Ron McDaniel in the old regime that we thought was gone. But he's got a proposal out, and you're a national committee woman from Nevada, and so that's why I want to get you on here. Seagal, I don't understand. How can they be getting a – I thought she was gone, and I thought, you know, Laura Trump's going over there. Laissa Vita's going over there. You know, Whatley of North Carolina's going over there. And yet I'm seeing they're putting around a resolution to block the RNC from, if they decide to, helping President Trump with his legal – situation, which is the lawfare they've been trying to destroy him. How is this happening? I don't get it. I thought we were cleaning house at the RNC.
I think this is a parting shot, Steve, of what we're seeing on Rana's way out. The problem is that this was submitted on an expedited basis, which under the rules, Henry Barber is allowed to do. There's this rule that if he gets two people from 10 states, he could put it onto the general floor. And the concern is that that's what'll happen. And it won't die in the resolutions committee where he would have to get a majority of the committee to vote on it.
So, I mean, but this one I'll get. How could it be? Maybe I'm missing something here. How could you get two people at 10 states to get this legitimate that could be this negative? This is a spitting in President Trump's face. I mean, President Trump's gone through hell right now. He's in this RNC put up this phony primary. They put up these phony, as you know, you fought it, put up these phony debates, raised $390 or $400 million with different donors and different campaigns, spent almost $500 million, and took 2 years of time that we could have, like at the beginning of the show, because Rachel Maddow gets it. She understands how they continue to hold on to power. She understands it, and so does Victoria Nuland. That's why Victoria Nuland today, don't think that's a small sign. That's a big sign. She's the architect of Ukraine. She's dedicated her life over the last 10 or 12 years on Ukraine, and she's punching out right now, retiring, because she understands the MAGA wave. Understanding this happening, how could you have people in the RNC with everything President Trump has done to revitalize this party and going to win a sweeping landslide in, I don't know, 19 states today or 16 that are left. They already won North Dakota and these others over the last couple of days. How could they sit there and actually sign on to a resolution that bars, if the Warren Posse donors want to give money to the RNC and would like some of that to go to defend President Trump on the lawfare, which they're using as one of their key tools to destroy him and win the election, why would these national committee people sign up for that, ma'am?
Well, because they're anti-Trump. And let's not forget that the same people that are backing Nikki Haley and have backed everybody else against Trump, these are the people that are actually in the RNC. I call them the great obstructionists of the RNC. And yes, and there are those 10 states that will jump on board and obstruct President Trump. Now, Steve, here's the most important thing. One of the most important things to understand with this resolution is that we know that the courts are being used to wage lawfare against President Trump. So if I'm a grassroots donor and I say I want, you know, $2 of my $10 donation to go to protect Trump, this resolution would completely preclude that. And what it's doing, it's a parting shot. It wow. is, I believe that this is Rana's parting shot against Trump. And she has her proxies in the RNC that are carrying this. And I think Henry Barber is one of them. The greatest concern is that my understanding is that seven states had already signed on, and if he gets to 10, he bypasses resolution committee, and it will go on to the general floor on Friday.
What can this audience do? What is your call to action for the Warren Posse? What can, because this is out, this is another outrage at the RNC, and we thought the whole thing was dealt with. And we got to see the building purge. You got to Walters and all that crowd, all the consultants got to go. All the people around the data got to go. All the buildings got to be purged, 100% purged. Well, what should this audience do today about this particular outrage, ma'am? If anything, is there anything we can do?
Well, he's got till midnight tonight, Eastern time. So that's 9 o'clock Pacific time. My recommendation is every one of your listeners on the War Room has to contact their committee men and committee women that are out there going to the RNC and tell them, do not make sure that you guys do not vote and join Henry Barber on this resolution.
We'll get Grace in the Bill Blaster on that. So Seagal, I know you're fighting the good fight. When does this thing start? Is it Thursday? Is that when it starts? Thursday, Friday, the summer meeting or the spring training? When does that start?
The spring training is on Thursday. Starts on Thursday, ends on Friday. We call it Rana's retirement party, which is long overdue.
Seagal, where do they get you on Twitter and social media? You come in a little hot every now and again. Where do people get you?
Chatta for Nevada on Twitter, Truth, Getter. All my handles are Chatta for Nevada.
Seagal, thank you so much for taking time today. Come on, appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a good day, Steve.
Thanks. So let's figure out. We'll figure out how to get the names and phone numbers, contact points for the different state, the three Republican national committeemen on those, and make sure people make contact today. This is another outrage. It can't pass. This is one of the reasons they're cleaning house over the RNC, to have this a potential opportunity to do this. Let's play. I got a cold open for the Jack Posobiec on a topic dear to his heart. He's on here for Victoria Nuland, but let's play the cold open.
CPAC, do you know what that is? That is the conservative... What is it?
Unfortunately.
What is PAC?
Political Action Committee.
Political Action Committee. Okay. Yeah. It's their big convention every year. It's like corporations have a big convention. They have their big convention. I made jokes about it every year. I can't remember the last time we did it. It goes way back. I remember once calling it the Woodstock for the mentally impaired. But in years past, it was like the most conservative commentators and senators and governors. And okay, this year there's a guy, I've heard this name, I don't know who he is, Jack Posobiec. He's doing sort of like a roundtable discussion, you know, it's a convention, they have these things. This is a quote: "Welcome to the end of democracy. We are here to overthrow it completely." We didn't get all the way there on January 6th, but we will endeavor to get rid of it. Am I missing an irony here? Am I missing a joke? Or is it, as it seems now, they are saying the quiet part out loud?
Yeah.
That they are not. This is CPAC. This is Republican, conservative, their big convention. And you have a guy like this and the crowd is loving it. Welcome to the end of democracy. We're here to overthrow it. January 6th was good. Now we're going to finish the job. Thoughts?
It's scary.
Thoughts on that?
Bill, that was a joke about Trump making a joke about being a dictator day one in office. That is an ironic take on how the liberal media
Well, that was my question. Am I missing the irony?
Conservatives, I think so. Yes, it's a joke.
Really?
But, yeah, and I think more to the point. To you, Bill, and to
keep your day job, Jack.
They're like, Jack Posobiec's here for his day job. Jack, your thoughts. Batya did a pretty good job, but what are your thoughts?
Keep your day job, Jack. Look, what can I say, Bill Maher? Maybe I won't keep my day job. Maybe I'll come for yours. How about that?
That, I got to tell you, Jack, of everything we've ever done together, I think that's the thing that went most viral. My favorite was, I think it was a Bhutan, CNN anchor.
It was the power of the rosary. Yeah. Power of the rosary putting it over.
No. But she didn't call it a rosary. She said, oh, look at that. He's holding out a necklace with a cross on it. Yo, baby.
A necklace with a cross. A necklace. These are not to be worn. These are to be wielded in spiritual battle. Spiritual battle. Understand?
Yes. Talk to me about... I don't know if we've got to have a bigger tell of the rats leaving the ship and people getting very nervous of how they're going to be held accountable than Victoria Nuland leaving. This is like Dr. Collins leaving before the 2022 midterm when Collins left as Fauci's boss and then Fauci left. Talk to us about why is this a big deal that Victoria Nuland, of all days, with Ukraine hanging in the balance and Zelensky under tremendous pressure, she would bail?
Well, what's really interesting is that according to my sources at the Foggy Bottom right now at the State Department, that there was actually a voicemail left at Vicky Nuland's office this morning, a raspy voice going, Vicky,
hello, this is Zelensky. Hello, Vicky, where are you? Pick up.
Yeah, this is really bad for anybody who hooked their cart to the horse, the war horse of Victoria Nuland. People need to understand that this is 100%, as you say, the rats fleeing the ship, to use the naval term, because, hey, we're a bunch of Navy guys around here, that she is leaving the Biden administration. She knows what's coming. Look, this happens one day after the 9-0 blowout for President Trump at the Supreme Court. She's not leaving the fight. She's just going to ground. She's running to her bunker because she doesn't want to be associated with the fallout that ensues from the Biden administration's slow slide into the grave. And guess what? Anyone else and all these other Obama holdovers that stayed behind and are now running essentially the third term of the Obama administration, you're going to see them slowly all start to abandon him as we get closer and closer to November. Mark my words.
Jack, hang on a second. I want to drill down on this, particularly what's going on in this German, the leak of the German about going in and going on offense with missiles and dragging us into a shooting war. Make sure Jack knows about the supply chains. He knows about unrestricted warfare, the Chinese Communist Party. Make sure you're not caught up in it. Jace Medical, jacemedical.com. Go check it out today about how you get your medicine. And
true or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done With Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Charlie Kirk's going to follow us. Then you got Jack. Then you got Tara Dahl and Miranda Khan. Then we're back with War Room. Of course, tonight is going to be the Super Tuesday. People are covering it wall to wall. We'll be up and down throughout the evening. Also, we're going to give hopefully a lot of coverage if we can get the feed to Todd Bensman, who's going to join me at 6 o'clock. Todd's going into West Roxbury to give this talk and really make sure the folks in Roxbury understand how the Great Replacement Theory is actually working on them. The African Americans have been in Roxbury forever, had their community center taken to give turnover to illegal alien invaders. So we'll get to all that. Jack's a naval officer, naval intelligence officer. He knows about the supply chains. That's why I want to make sure you go to Jace Medical, check it out, make sure you understand what the threat is to you first, then talk to Dr. Sean and the team over there about how they can help you avoid this. The active pharmaceutical ingredients, 100% controlled by the Chinese Communist Party on mainland China. Make sure you check it out. Poso, the Germans are caught because the Russians hacked them. And if you don't think home title lock and they got the hacking going, whether state actors or non-state, the hacking's very advanced. They hacked the Germans, talking about taking offensive missiles and, you know, taking out bridges in Crimea, essentially starting a shooting war that would drag the Americans into it as far as NATO goes. You've got, you know, Zelensky admits today he hasn't really done anything to push the 500,000 troops. It's not the money right now. It's not the arms. They don't have enough fighting men of fighting age. And mothers and fathers are adamant about their kids are not going to go to the Eastern Front. Is that why Victoria Nuland's bailing? Is she bailing now because the fear of MAGA coming and holding her accountable? Because we are. And she'll eventually, I think, for war crimes, go to prison. But is and her husband should be on the Secret Service watch list right now for writing that piece about Red Caesar and trying to assassinate President Trump, giving the moral justification. Or is it she's just bailing on Zelensky and the oligarchs when they need her most to get the $80 billion from the Americans?
Well, Steve, there's a lot there. So these neoconservative neoliberals from this devoutly, and it is religious. That's why I use the word devoutly, because this is a spiritual war. For them, the religion is anti-Russia, but only because, remember, they want to take over Russia. Victoria Nuland's family hails from Bessarabia. This is right next to Odessa. This was part of the Russian Empire. They fled when Stalin took power and started throwing out all the Trotskyites. This was not a situation where they were anti-communist. It's just they're a different flavor of communism, and that's what people need to understand. That flavor, they've decided to come to the United States and use the U.S. and use the U.S. infrastructure and U.S. working class and the U.S. war power to be able to take over what they believe is rightfully theirs. Again, Robert Kagan had argued before that, what did he say? Listen to this. The United States has an imperial role to play. It's her husband. In a world order built around United States economic, political, and military power. These people are obsessed with Russia. They're obsessed with Crimea. Remember, this is the architect, Vicky Nuland, of the Maidan coup, walking around out there handing out cookies, Victoria Nuland and her cookies. She's the one who says, F the EU. She looks at the EU as vassals. And of course, she's been working hand in glove to prop up the military establishment, not only in the United States, but all across the capitals of Europe. So you've got these people in there, In the German high command now, in the German military, talking on unsecured phone lines that are easily hackable by the Russians in apparently a Singaporean hotel. If you listen to some of this stuff, it dials into a conference. And these people are talking loosey-goosey about how we're not going to be able to move into what they say. And this, what's the biggest thing lately? And Macron even said it, you know, kind of said the quiet part out loud. NATO troops in Ukraine. coming in to stabilize what they call Ukraine's western flank, potentially moving the regime from Kiev all the way to Lviv, setting up a quote-unquote green zone. They want French troops. They're talking Polish troops already, of course. Poland, of course, a lot of history used to control that area. And then the Germans, what are they talking about? Not attacking in Russia. They're talking about attacking Crimea. They're talking attacking directly onto some of these infrastructure lines so Russia's warfighting will be prevented. What does this all mean? NATO shooting war with Russia. And then you had the Finnish prime minister yesterday saying, oh, if we are going to go into war, it looks like we are going to go to war with Russia. Of course, the Finns hate the Russians, and the Russians don't have any love lost back for them from the Winter War, of course, from World War II. Steve, this is a massive cauldron. Victoria Nuland set this all up. I would not be surprised if she turns her head up somewhere in Europe while all of this is going to crap around her, because she doesn't care about Zelensky. She doesn't care about the Ukrainian people or how many of them have died on her watch. She cares about regime change in Russia. That's what it's all about.
When I talk about, by the way, the European elites and that didn't fight with us, I always exclude the Finns. The Finns took them on and actually kind of fought them to a standstill. Early on,
they chewed them up. They still lost territory, but they chewed them up in that war.
Still, there was they stood their ground. Jack, social media. You know, Bill Maher says keep your day job. We're here to support you on your day job. Where do people go?
Well, of course, everyone can go and tune in. I hope Bill Maher will be tuning in today. We're going to have a very special message for him. And of course, we don't joke around on Human Events. We're very, very serious all the time. We've got a fantastic show, huge lineup today throughout the rest of the week. And then tonight, Steve, and you're more than welcome, myself and Charlie Kirk, we're going to be doing a super stream for the Super Tuesday lineup as it comes in. I don't think there'll be any surprises when it comes to the results, but what we are going to be looking at is potentialities for some of these swing states that are going to be up today, and looking at turnout numbers as tracks to the general election.
Yeah. By the way, Charlie's got the Turning Point USA has got a massive group. They had a big article about them the other day, massive about this, the same with Catherine Engelbrecht, Cleta Mitchell, Mike Lindell, all of it. Jack Posobiec, of Twitter, how do people follow you on Twitter?
Hey, you follow me on Twitter, of course, Jack Posobiec. You know, what can I say? Everybody's talking about us over there. And to the Jenna Griswolds and to the Victoria Nulands and Gretchen Whitmers and all of these people out there, don't worry. Even though you're all losing power, you can still get a great discount on a good night's sleep at MyPillow.com.
Promo code War Room. Thank you, Jack Posobiec. Appreciate it. Thanks for the tee up. Warpath Coffee. Go to warpath.coffee/war room. Warpath.coffee/war room. Get the Dark Roast Mariner's Blend, my favorite. Of course, got all the mob blends, but this coffee will get you jacked up and keep you working. Of course, everybody's raving about my favorite, the grass-fed beef livers. Go to sacredhumanhealth.com. Charlie Kirk's next. We're back at 5 o'clock in the War Room. See you then.
Tax Network USA is pure War Room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up, plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
.com, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.